Why is it that we have to be reminded to set aside a day for Thanksgiving? Why? One day a year. I mean, shouldn't we be thankful every day? It's in our human nature to gripe and complain. You know that? We naturally want to complain about something. You look at Facebook. If you're on Facebook, there are constantly people finding something. You gotta be upset about this. This is bad. And they send it out. Put it on your Facebook pages. Post it to everybody. And next thing you know, the next day, there's something new to be complaining about and to be upset about. We're a society of people who are pessimistic and upset about everything. See, I think we should start a movement. Instead of having one day of Thanksgiving, we have 364 days of Thanksgiving, and we have one day to gripe. I think that would be great. This is your day to complain. And you just complain about everything. Nobody would want to be around anybody else anymore. But the other 364 days would be Happy Day, Thanksgiving Day, and the other day would be Grumbling Day. See, during this time of year, it's a great time for us to evaluate our own grateful attitudes. And I know, I find myself at times, there are times during the day, and hopefully it's when nobody's around, where I am just ungrateful. I want to complain about everything. But I shouldn't be that way. So we're gonna look at a little story in Luke about 10 lepers. If you got your Bibles, which I hope you do, if you don't have a Bible, please let me know. I will make sure you get one. If you like, you can take the one from the pew. That's fine. We'll replace it. But if you don't have a Bible, please let me know. I'll get you one. But if you brought your Bible, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I am much better, by the way. Hopefully I won't have to drink too much of this. Chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Now, you must understand that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. So this is Luke is telling the whole story about him walking his way to Jerusalem. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So he's right on the border. And if you know anything, you know, there's a good mix there of people. Some Samaritans, some Galileans, some Jews, some non-Jews. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Father, these words sometimes cut us. Because we are sometimes like the 9 who didn't praise you, who don't praise you and are not thankful. And Lord, sometimes we're like the 1. When you do something or when something happens in our lives, we can't stop praising you. Father, make us more like the 1. May these words teach us and mold us and change us. Amen. A leper does not exactly have a whole lot to be thankful for. If you've studied, if you know anything about leprosy, they could not mingle with the rest of the people who did not have leprosy. They were kept apart. In fact, what does it say? It says Jesus was entering a town. So they are outside of the town. And they stand back from him because they know we're lepers. We cannot come close. And if they happen to come to a place where there are people, they have to yell out, unclean, unclean, so people get out of the way. The life of a leper is not a life of thankfulness. Because not only were they separated from people, chances are they were separated from their family. They would get together. There are 10 of them together. So they would get together in groups of people who were also sick. Because they were the only ones who would have them. Their own family wouldn't be around them. They were excluded from social events. No Thanksgiving for them. They were outcast, unclean. And there was no cure at the time, and there was no institute of leprosy trying to find a cure. The only time someone would be cured from leprosy was usually by miraculous intervention by God. And when that would happen, they would have to go to the priest in order to be declared clean. It's not that the priest would make them clean. It's that the priest would say, you are now clean. There's no leprosy. They were like the doctors. Now you're released, you know. Sin is like leprosy. It separates us. If we go to Psalm 66:18, the psalmist says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know that? If we have sin in our heart, God does not listen to us. It separates us. It comes between our relationship with God. Sin, like leprosy, makes us unclean. John 3:3 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom. You are unclean before you believed in Jesus. And when Jesus comes into your life, he makes you clean. That's why we talk about our sins are white as snow. We are clean. There's no cure for sin aside from God's intervention. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The only way we can be cleansed from sin is by the spilling of blood. I don't understand why. It doesn't matter. That's what God said. God's the boss. But it was his son coming and dying for us, shedding his blood that makes us clean. Apart from God, we cannot be saved. So these 10 men were without hope until they see Jesus. Now, God must have told them, hey, that's my son. Ask him. And what does Jesus do? He commands them to go to the priest. Commands them, says, go to the priest. Because he knows, you must go to the priest to be declared clean. And when they obeyed, they became clean. As they were going, as they were obeying what Jesus told them to do, then they became clean. And they realized it. And one of them left the nine and came back. Now, what's interesting is the one never made it to the priest up to this point. The first one that came back, he never made it. The nine probably continued on to the priest to be declared clean and go back to their families. This one man realized on the way that the leprosy was gone. And you got to understand with leprosy, you get these sores on your body and in your joints, and your body parts fall off. And he realized, it's gone. And his first thought is, I need to go back and praise God. He wanted to come back and thank Jesus for what he had done. But it was interesting, what did he do when he first came? Did he fall at his feet and thank Jesus, or what did he do? No, he praised God. He praised the source of his healing. He did not thank Jesus first. He praised God the Father. And then he fell at his feet and he thanked Jesus for what he had done. He thanked the method. He praised God who was the source of his healing. Then he thanked Jesus who was the one who did it by God's power. He was very thankful. Very thankful. He was less concerned about being declared clean than he was about praising God and thanking Jesus. And the amazing thing was, this man was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, as we know, were not looked on very kindly by the Jews. And Jesus says, was there no one else to come back? This foreigner, the Samaritan, came back. No one else did. We need to have that same kind of attitude. We need to be thankful people. How do we do that? How can we be thankful? We need to understand that being thankful is God's will for our lives. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Have you ever wondered what the will of God is for your life? You ever wonder what God wants you to do? This is one of them. This is part of it. He wants you to be thankful. It is God's will. It says, this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. See, learning to be thankful is not an optional quality. It's not something you can say, well, I don't want to be thankful. I want to be a believer in Christ, but I don't want to be thankful. That's not a choice. You have to be thankful. It's essential. Psalm 105:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. This Samaritan leper, he praised God. It wasn't just like he came and says, oh, great God, thank you. No, he was praising God. He was telling it to the people. When we are thankful, when we have a thankful heart, when we appreciate what God has done for us and what he is doing for us, and when we are thankful and we appreciate where God has us, we can't help but tell people about it. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine the conversation? Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I have been sick for 3 weeks. Isn't God awesome? But we don't do that. But that's what we need to do. We need to say, yeah, I haven't been feeling good. You know, I'm losing my job. My kids are a wreck. But you know, God is still good. And I'm trying to work through this. And by his grace, I'm going to make it. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. We are commanded to be thankful. It's not optional. Thanksgiving Day is not the only time we should be thankful. And I want to be honest with you. There's probably most of us who weren't very thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And it's not like we set that day apart and are happy about, you know, thanking God for all these things. And we may look back to the original why we have Thanksgiving Day, you know. But are we really, truly thankful for where God has us? See, thankfulness should characterize who we are. It should characterize our lives. It's a continuous, ongoing lifestyle. And I know in today's world, it's hard. We've got war. We've got a government that is, I'm not even going to say what they are, because I have no idea what's going on in their heads. We got a society that's fallen apart. Shooting. I mean, I look at that. I look at the shooting that just happened at the Planned Parenthood. And I'm like, why is God allowing this? Because nothing happens outside of his will. I believe Satan is given some reign here. He's allowed to do some things. Why is God doing this? I don't know. But I'm thankful that God is still in control. But this world is falling apart. We have famine, diseases. There seems to be so much evil. And in our own homes, we have divorce and fighting and disagreements and strife and anger and debt, increasing insurance costs. I'm only saying that because I just saw how much my health insurance was going up next year. It's hard to be thankful when all these things are happening to us, when we're just bombarded in this world. I mean, are we just supposed to bury our head in the ground and I'm going to use the term Pollyanna. A lot of young people won't know what that is, but Pollyanna is like, oh, everything's just wonderful, and the world's exploding. Ooh, isn't that a pretty, you know, mushroom cloud? We were watching the Patriot late last night. It was like 1:30 in the morning. We had a rough day yesterday, but it was kind of interesting. We were watching The Patriot, and the British are here, and they're at this house. They're having this big ball, and the Patriots, the militia, are dressed in British uniforms. They row out to the boat, which has all their supplies on it, and they blow it up. And one of the ladies sits there and says, "Ooh, fireworks!" That's not how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to stick our head in the ground and just say, "Oh, everything's going to be, oh, it's okay." No. There's things we need to do. But see, the thing is, we need to learn that our thankfulness cannot be tied to our situation. Our circumstances cannot rule whether or not we are thankful. Our thankfulness needs to be tied to God and our relationship with Him. Thessalonians says, give thanks in what? Some situations? Oh, just give thanks in the situations that are good. No, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. All. That means that when I'm down in my back, I'm throwing up, and my kids are screaming, I'm supposed to be thankful. That's tough. I'm not looking forward to the day when my kids are teenagers and I'm supposed to be thankful. Because there's times today I am not thankful. And I can't imagine having teenagers right now. I admire all you who've gone through it. I have a better appreciation for my mom and dad now. I do. Psalm 106:1 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." See, our barrier to being thankful is not our circumstances. Our barrier is our thinking. We connect being thankful with favorable circumstances. And it has nothing to do with it. It should have everything to do with God. God wants us to learn how to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, understand, that doesn't mean I have to be thankful for every circumstance. I am not thankful for every circumstance I'm in. Many times those circumstances are my own fault. But I'm not thankful for every circumstance, but I need to be thankful in every circumstance. In the midst of my troubles, I can still be thankful. Because the foundation of my thankful heart needs not to be grounded in circumstances, but grounded in who God is and in my relationship with Him. Because I believe that God is good. He always loves me. He's always faithful. He always has my best in mind, will always provide for my needs, can use every event for His good purposes, always rewards obedience, and I can be thankful no matter what. This is a verse you need to write down because I don't put it on the list. Acts 16:25. You got to know the story. Paul and Silas have been preaching the gospel, and boy, the Jews are mad. And they're causing an uproar. So they are put in jail. The Romans put them in jail. And they are chained together. The chances are they've been beaten. And we find out that apparently Paul and Silas don't sleep. Because about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. This is Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've been beaten, I've been chained up, I'm not so sure I'd be singing. But that's what they were doing. Our human response is to, "Oh, poor me, I'm chained up to Silas, and he's all beat up, and he smells, and I smell. Why did we come this way? If I'd just gone left instead of right." You know, we complain like that. But that's not Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are worshiping God and they're singing praises. See, Psalm 50 starts with offer. Because we need to embrace the idea that being thankful is a choice. If we go to Psalm 50, 14 through 15. It says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Offer it to it. That means you can do it or not. It's a choice you make. but offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Being thankful is a choice. It's not an emotion. Now, some of you might be thinking, man, but I just don't feel like being thankful. It has nothing to do with it. My kids come to me and they say, I say, you go and you do this. I don't feel like doing it. It don't matter. It don't matter whether you want to or you like to or you feel like. It's not about that. I think that's the problem today. We get so wrapped up in emotions. Well, I don't feel like it. Or we hear, what? Has nothing to do with emotions. Obeying God has nothing to do with whether or not you feel like it or not. See, the problem is emotions get in our way. Now, I don't believe in being unemotional. I've been known to cry at some things. I have. I cry at some things. And I love my family, and I love people, and I'm emotional at times. There's nothing wrong with emotions. The problem is when we allow emotions to rule us. We don't feel like it. I don't want to do it because I don't feel like it. It's like choosing to be thankful is like choosing to love. We choose to love someone even though they are unlovable. God chose to love us when we were unlovable. He didn't have to. He's God. He could have done anything. He could have wiped us out and created a whole new universe with his words in a moment. But he chose at that time to love us. For God so loved the world, he chose to love us. He chose to redeem us. Choosing is important. Emotions have nothing to do with it. We need to choose to be thankful even when we don't feel like it. It is choosing to not let complaining, critical, hopeless attitude come out of our mouth. I know I'm not the only one who suffers with this. Sometimes I have a problem with, especially when I'm in that complaining mode, that things just come out of my mouth. And I don't know where they come from. That's a lie. I know where they come from. They come from my heart. The goal of being thankful is to not allow those things to come out. I may feel like I want to complain about something, I don't like something. I don't need to verbalize it. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm saying that, it doesn't mean that I can't go to somebody and sit with them and say, hey, I need to talk to you about what I'm dealing with right now. We're supposed to do that. That's laying my burden on somebody else, and that person can pray for me and help me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just to have this attitude of complaining all the time and not being thankful for what is good. We need to cast our burdens on each other and cast our burdens on God. Look at the Psalms. Many times David is just complaining to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a complaint. It's okay to do that, but it's the problem is when it becomes a lifestyle choice. We need to focus on the unchanging, predictable character of God rather than my circumstances. Think about that. My circumstances change every second. God doesn't. He never changes. I can always rely on him. Always. He's going to be the same today, yesterday, and forever. Despite my emotions. I gotta think that there are times God, he's laughing at me because he knows how I am with my kids and their emotions run wild. It's crazy. And it's like, stop crying! What are you crying for? It's just a piece of toast. And you get that perspective, and God says, Christopher, stop whining and complaining about it. It's just a broken fingernail. You know, God has it under control. But we must embrace thankfulness because sometimes it's a sacrificial choice. Another verse to write down that I didn't put on the list. Psalm 107:22. 107:22. It says, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. and let his deeds, and let of his deeds in songs of joy. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and let of his deeds in songs of joy. Our sometimes being joyful, being thankful is a sacrifice. It's hard. Mostly because when I have to be joyful and don't want to be, I have to put myself aside. In these times, especially, sometimes being thankful can hurt. We often think of thankfulness as this happy, joyous thing. Oh, things are just wonderful. I'm so thankful. No, it should be, oh, things are tough. But, you know, I'm still thankful that God is God. It's a choice in the midst of our pain. Now, you got to wonder, why would God want us to be thankful when our hearts are broken? When our hearts are literally broken, why does he want us to be thankful? And the reason why is because it gets our eyes off of us and it puts it on him. We take our eyes off ourselves and it puts it back on him where it belongs. Because that's where our help comes from. That's where our joy comes from. That's where our thankfulness comes from, is when we focus on him and his character traits, because my character traits aren't that great, but his are. And if I'm trying to be like him, I'm like thinking, man, God has me here for a reason. What is it? He's got me going through the mire, the muck and the mire, for a reason. What is it? And Lord, I'm thankful that even in the muck and the mire, you are there. You are getting me through it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Emotionally, I'm torn apart. But I'm not going to wallow in the muck and mire. I'm going to be thankful because God is there. See, it's when we offer up sacrifices in the midst of a storm, it's a good indicator of where our focus is. If I can praise God from the muck and the mire, that means my focus is on him and not on me and my circumstances. It's making a choice to thank and praise God no matter what. Being thankful is also a witness to others. Philippians, this is another verse you have to write down. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Oh, this is a tough one. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So don't complain about it and don't fight about it. Sounds like me talking to my kids. Get upstairs. Get your clothes off. Get in the bathtub. Don't fight. Don't complain. God's saying the same thing to us. Don't do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. It's a twisted and crooked generation that we're in. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, when we complain, we lose our witness to the world. When we're out amongst people who are non-believers and we're complaining, we lose our witness. Because complaining is the opposite of being thankful. And when we are faithlessly responding to our circumstances by complaining, how does that change the circumstance? Does it change it? It doesn't change it. Again, remember, I'm not talking about sitting down with a brother or sister in Christ and saying, hey, I got to lay this burden on you. I need you to pray for me. I need help. I need you to deal with this with me. Walk with me through this. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who live to complain. It's a faithless response. Because when we complain, we're acting like the rest of the world. You know how hard it is to complain? When I first heard my kids complain about something, like, who taught them that? Did she teach them to complain when I wasn't home? Of course, my first thought was, boy, have I been complaining? Did they hear me say that? No, it's the natural human response. We are made to be in this broken world because of our sin, because of original sin and our sin nature. We are made to complain. It takes no skill, no maturity, and no faith whatsoever to complain. It just comes naturally. We don't even have to practice it. You can have somebody who's never complained before, and when they start, they're masters. They're masters at it. Now, I want to say this. Complaining is very different than pointing out an issue that needs to be changed. There's a big difference between the two. Okay? Because when you complain, you don't care about people. You're caring about yourself. I don't like this, so I'm going to say something about it. I. It's not about me. When I want to help, when I see an issue and I want to say, there's an issue here, and this is what I think the problem is, and we need to work together to get this taken care of, because this is how it will help us, help the people. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to get in trouble with this. I'm okay because we have two different colored carpets. We're good. There are churches that say, I think the church should have red carpet only because it signifies the blood of Jesus. I think that. It's not about we. It's not because we're not saying that we want something because it's going to help our worship. It's going to help us focus on God more. By the way, I like the red carpet. It's fine. Maroon. Okay. I'm a guy. We only have five colors. Complaining tears people down and is self-centered. It's about how I feel. And it doesn't really want to help correct the problem. It's not the same as coming up with a suggestion and just saying that there's an issue. Complaining always lays blame on others for the problem. They're fault finders. Complaining never sees God in the circumstances. See, Christians who are complainers do more damage to the kingdom than anybody else. Because people will look and say, why would I want to go to a church where Bob goes and all I ever hear Bob doing, I'm glad there's nobody in Bob here. Bob going, complains. That must be what all those people, especially when that person complains to his friends about church. They give Jesus a bad name. And the world looks and says, don't want to go there. No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with that Jesus guy. If this is the kind of, if this is what a Christian is, and believe me, some of us, some people, we're the only Christ they're ever going to see. They'll say, I don't want anything to do with that. When we are thankful, we stand out like light in a dark world. When the world observes us being thankful, despite our circumstances, we shine. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what he wants us to do. And thankfulness brings God's blessing. Psalm 50:23 says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. When we are in the mire, when we are down, and we thank God, and we're thankful, it honors God. It honors him. It glorifies him. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. There's tremendous power in being grateful. Tremendous. When we give thanksgiving as a sacrifice, God pours out his blessing. It's a kingdom of God attitude and behavior that creates a supernatural ripple effect. Do you want to be around people who complain all the time? Or do you want to be around people who are thankful all the time? It's like taking a pebble and dropping it in water. It creates a ripple and it goes out and out and out and out and out. It has an effect. It creates ripples of influence that will amaze us. Now, in the back, I have a little Thanksgiving card. I want to ask all of you to take one, and put it someplace. Put it, if you're like my wife, she'll probably need four or five because she'll put one in the car, she'll put one on the mirror, she'll put one on the refrigerator. She'll have to move all her sticky notes to do it. But take one of these. And believe me, I love her sticky notes because that's the only way I usually keep track of what's going on. It's great. But this is a great way to remind us. It says the Thanksgiving card. Today I choose to be thankful. Lord, I choose to be thankful today because it is your will and the path of blessing. Lord, I choose to be thankful today for who you are and what you have done. Lord, I choose to be thankful despite my painful, unpleasant circumstances. Lord, I choose to reject any despairing, critical, or complaining attitude today. Wow, that's the tough one. From taking control of my mind and emotions. And Lord, I ask you for the strength and courage to live this way today in order to become a more thankful person. You just need it for today and then tomorrow and the next day. So put this someplace. Jeff will have them back there. Please take one and it will remind you. And we can start to create ripples in our lives and in our communities and in our families. And ultimately, we'll create those ripples in the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to pray. Father, we praise you, and we thank you. Father, sometimes we are not very thankful people. Lord, I'm speaking, I'm the worst of them right here, me. Speaking of me. I let my circumstances rule my thankfulness. And I let my circumstances and my emotions control how much I am thankful. And I complain way too much. Father, I don't want to be a complainer. And I know none of us want to be complainers. We want to be seen as believers in Christ who are thankful in all circumstances. Help us to do that. We can't do it on our own. And on our own, Father, as you know, we want to do nothing but complain. And never have a solution to anything. Just complain. But by your power and by your grace, Father, we can become new creations. We can be born again into a life of graciousness. A life that has a ripple effect on all those around us. And on our church, and on our families, and in our community, and mostly in the kingdom of God. May you be praised, Father, for everything, not just the good, but the bad. May we praise you, and love you, and trust you, because you are our God and our Savior. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who was always grateful to you for what you had given him and what you were doing through him. We pray in his name. Amen.